That's my best shot at not being very American.
This is where Drew normally says, "Welcome to the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast." I'm Christian.
I'm Drew, and we're farm to cupping in Guatemala this week, and we've got Eric, our owner.
Hello.
He's a man of many interesting words. But we're all down here sourcing coffee. It's really an important time of year for us to focus on the coffee for the upcoming 12 months, keeping it fresh, keeping it solid, and making sure it matches the vision that we try to embody, and that is bringing coffee from farms, working directly with as many farmers as we can, bringing it through the total supply chain to the final cups of the customers, and that's how we like to work, so it's what we do. What we wanted to talk about this episode was what coffee roasters do when they visit an origin country, and we're going to approach it from a couple different avenues, from our perspective and then from the perspective of a producer, which is kind of fun. If you are a barista or if you are a specialty coffee fan, I think that you can get the idea that coffee sourcers come down here, they taste a few coffees, they visit a few farms, and really kind of miss everything that goes through their minds. You don't get the full perspective of what a green coffee buyer has to do when they visit an origin country. So Christian, as our director of coffee, is the primary green buying agent for Stone Creek Coffee. Christian, what is on your mind as you prepare to go to an origin country?
Well, I usually think about two things. The first thing is, where are my relationships that I already have, and what coffee is going to be coming from there? How do I develop the relationship further to either get a new coffee or to make sure that the coffee will be the same or as good as it was the previous years? So usually it's reaching out and just making contacts with everyone and, hey, when is crop going to happen this year? When are we going to be able to cup? Can I taste these things, make sure we're all good? And continue to build relationships, because that's one thing that I've heard from producers that a lot of roasters don't do, is they don't actually try to build a relationship, which I think is really important. It's one thing to cup and buy a coffee, but it's another thing to actually build a symbiotic relationship between a roaster and a producer. And I think both sides are more invested and care more and can actually do better business if you have that kind of relation. The other thing that we do is, if we're, say, researching a new area of Central America or South America, we might go on the internet and just say, who's doing cool stuff? Who do we want to see? Who do we want to visit? And it may be as crazy as going through Instagram and saying, who's got some really cool pictures up? And then reaching out and seeing if you can make a couple meetings. And we've been doing a few of those this trip. And it's interesting to see new producers doing new things that we haven't really met before. So it's kind of put me a little out of my element, but it really gets the opportunity to see what new people are doing and to really kind of expand just the people that we could potentially buy from.
Eric, as the owner of Stone Creek Coffee, you've been active with our sourcing, especially the last 3 or 4 years. And why is it that out of all the areas of the business you could be involved in, you choose to be involved in the sourcing aspect?
Right. Well, I think the sourcing is sort of it's the heart and soul of the business, because ultimately we're a coffee company. And while there are many things to worry about when running a coffee company, from where you're going to buy your milk to the price of cardboard to the price of gasoline, but ultimately what matters most and what hits the customers and what I think is the, as I said, the soul of the business is the coffee. And it's really imperative that we're on the ground, meeting our producers, spending time with them, learning about what they're focused on, and really trying to find the best coffee we can find to bring back to our customers.
It's fun as hell.
It's fun. Yeah.
Right. I mean, in terms of the areas of the business that you would want to be involved in, I've mentioned many times, several times on the podcast, that when we get people applying for work at Stone Creek Coffee, a lot of them want to do Christian's job. They want to come down and basically see coffee, experience coffee at origin, which is a totally fair desire. But I think it is a little bit myopic on their part. When you come down to a farm and you see an origin country for the first time, you see a coffee farm and processing for the first time, it's mind-blowing because you really see all the work that goes into coffee. But that's not where the work of a coffee buyer ends. So, Christian, tell us a little bit more about the nature of what it is to buy coffee through origin visits.
So the first thing that you really do is you try to establish a relationship with a producer, and it's important to go and see what they're doing, what makes them unique, how are they processing, what varieties do they have, and to really get a sense for what their like little corner of the market is, and then to determine if that matches up with your own. If you get into a situation where it doesn't quite align, it makes for a really kind of an odd meeting. And it's not like you're having a meeting in a coffee shop back home and you can just like, okay, yeah, we're good. Oftentimes you're staying with a producer and you're like, this is kind of weird. I don't really want to stay at that farm. Let's go back to the hotel. We can book another night. It may have happened once before. So after you determine that relationship, you have to taste the coffee. The coffee has to match what you need in your line. The pricing has to meet what's in your line. If the pricing doesn't match, you might have to go through negotiations and determine if you can negotiate a better price for that coffee. There's lots of emails back and forth. There's a lot of logistics thereafter, depending if you do a container load of coffee or less than a container load. How are you going to move 4 bags from one producer all the way up to America in time? What is the processing look like? Is everything going to match up? Does the pre-ship sample meet the arrival sample? Is everything line up along the way? So the easy part is coming down and visiting, and even that's not so easy after a long period of time. I'll check up with you in 3 weeks.
Well, I'm going to cut you off, actually, because we all know the easy part, which is to come and taste coffee and meet people and hang out and eat good Central American food. Or African food, although I'm not terribly familiar with African food. So what's hard, and I can speak from my experience, but I want to hear from you guys, Eric and Christian, first. What's hard about origin travel?
Go ahead. I guess for me, you know, it's not so much what's hard, it's my challenge to Christian and to us as a company, and the challenge is to always find what's new. What we've been to a certain country, we've worked with a producer for 3 or 4 years, and that's not to say we wouldn't continue to work with them, but what is it that we're going to explore on this trip? And we typically, Christian and I, will talk through themes of the trip, and we'll typically focus on something at all the visits. And this year we're focused on drying. How are people drying? Why are they drying a certain way? What is that doing to the cup profile? So I wouldn't say that it's hard, but that you have to be disciplined in your planning and your challenging of your own education so that you're not, you know, in essence, phoning it in with a cerveza.
I would say one of the most hard things is not necessarily coffee related, but it's being on the road for a long period of time. Like today, our hosts were nice enough to do our laundry for us, but I was kind of going through my head, it's like, oh crap, when am I going to do my laundry? Like, I packed enough for like a week and a half, and I don't want to be wearing dirty clothes, and I'm meeting with new people. And you're in foreign places, you're interacting with people who don't speak your same language, and if you're like me, you don't quite know how to communicate well. I know a little bit of Spanish. And after a long period of time, like, most people want to go home to their families and just like, here's what's going on. But we understand as a coffee company, like, the best way for us to really go find great coffees is to be at origin and to really explore, and Eric's given me the opportunity to do that. But it's not for everyone, and it does take a lot out, and I know that Eric, when he goes home, he's happy to see his family, and Drew is the same way. He's happy to go home to his family, and I may be happy to go home and see my cats and my girlfriend, but I'm really like excited to be on the road for a long period of time, but it takes a really special person to do that.
Yeah, I mentioned that actually to Eric earlier, is that I think you're actually uniquely gifted to be able to sort of do this work and stay flexible for a long period of time, because it's not necessarily coming down, spending 8 hours a day sourcing coffee. It is like 14-hour days for however long you're down here, unless you purposefully block off time to rest and relax. Because Christian and I have been down here for 7 days. And
three countries.
Yeah, three countries. And the days we've had where we haven't been seeing multiple farms, talking with people, like for at least 12 hours a day, we've been traveling for a long time. So yesterday we went from Panama to Guatemala, and that was two flights, two long car rides, and it can be exhausting. It's a marathon to actually come down here and work if you are dedicated to work. If you're dedicated to finding coffee, building relationships, and not wasting time and wasting money, it's a lot of work. It's great work. I think it's some of the best work to be involved in the coffee industry. But if you're not prepared to work your butt off, then you're not prepared for quality origin travel.
The other thing that's hard is staying in touch with that home, especially if you have other duties and responsibilities. And this is something that I have had struggles trying to balance with. And one trip, I was like, okay, I'm not going to answer my emails until late at night. And I finally have the ability to answer emails in real time. But you have a job back home, and you also have a job down here. It's really hard to balance the two. And there are three of us down here right now, and we all have major responsibilities with our company, and we're on our phones quite a bit. It's not cush. It's not easy. We're working from here, and we're working back home at the same time while we're here really finding amazing coffees.
And to that end, I think we should just take a minute and say thank you to everybody who is picking up some of the slack. Just a general thank you to the team back in Milwaukee, who's awesome. So on the flip side of origin travel is the producers, which is an often neglected sort of aspect in terms of our approach. Is you don't often stop and think about what somebody else has to experience or what somebody else has to do to allow you to source coffee. We talk about the work involved in producing, we talk about processing methods, all these things that producers are executing, but we don't often talk about what a producer sort of feels and what a producer has to do in order to meet a roaster and sell their coffee, especially if they're trying to play in the specialty coffee game. Today we have the very unique privilege of having another producer on our show, Giorgio from Finca San Geronimo. Thanks for being willing to talk with us for a little bit. So I just want to ask a few questions. You've done great work in producing and cultivating amazing plants. What are some of the avenues that you look to use to sell your coffee? How do you try and sell your coffee to specialty coffee roasters?
Well, first of all, we just try to use social media just because it's a really wide open resource to connect with people around the world. Everything goes through the eyes, right? Everything goes in through the eyes. So we try to capture some nice photos, and we always try to keep it real, so also expectation is not like very apart like from reality. We also try to look like maybe some people can have and grab whatever they can look for, but we try to look for other companies or other people who want to support or try to do the same things we like to do and share the same philosophies or general ideas or of what we have on one topic or another.
When you find somebody, we found you on Instagram. Eric actually found you on Instagram. Did somebody link it or did it show up in your search file? Like, how did you find
it? I don't remember. I just remember seeing the feed and liking some of the unique experiments and some of the things that that they're doing here.
It must have been like 6 months ago. Eric texted me. It's like, hey, you have to follow these guys. And we've been following you for months. And I'm like, hey, can we come down and visit? This looks really cool.
And we're always like happy to have people, and if they're happy to come down, we're more than happy to receive. We like to share what we do in this corner of the world. We like to think we do things a unique way. Mm-hmm. coffee is still something that is being shaped, something that is being discovered. We love to have different people because we can see through their eyes when they come to visit, and we can learn other people's interpretation of the same thing we do. We know we're just another player in the value chain where we can connect with someone that can keep the light glowing, or we could like do something with someone that could just buy a commodity or buy a product and do whatever they want, and we just don't know what happens or what is going to happen. Or and the most important thing to keep things going and make things better, and the whole philosophy of the farm, and I think the founders have a very deep rooted philosophy of making things better with every cycle. You do something where you pass the next phase to someone else, so always feedback is really helpful to make things better with every cycle, because you really don't know what is going to be used for or what is going to happen. And with agriculture, everything has a really long like learning curve. You do something today and you don't know when you're going to see the effect, or you have an idea of this is going to happen, something else is going to happen, and sometimes reality versus expectation is different, and sometimes it's right on. So every feedback is always like really well received, even if it's like negative, or it's what people like to say, positive feedback. It's always welcome. There's like some psychologists that say that you know a part of yourself that only you know and nobody else knows, but there's also another part of yourself that everybody knows and you don't know.
Right.
So we see feedback in the company or in the farm like an opportunity to see through that window, to see what other people can perceive and see from us. And every time we have this opportunity, we're really grateful, because it only bring more value to the people in our community and the people that work with us.
Cool. Yeah, I think a lot of consumers don't really put together that coffee is agricultural. And I just had like a light bulb go over my head that it really is a feedback back and forth of dialoguing and saying, hey, something weird happened last year. Like like halfway through the harvest, we got through our coffee and it just didn't taste right. And we've been doing a little bit more of that recently and saying, hey, this coffee faded. And the producer's response typically isn't like, oh, well, you just didn't store it right. It's more like, well, what can I do to make it better the next time? Like, what can I do to make those changes? And that dialogue really does help. We were talking earlier today, and you had mentioned that San Jeronimo has kind of overgone a lot of changes over the last few years. And we were dialoguing about like how a small producer can find a roaster by direct relationships. And a lot of what we do at Stone Creek here is what we call farm-to-cup sourcing, but able to find a relationship directly with a producer. But from a producer's point of view, like, how do you start to even explore that? Like, where do you start, and what are the challenges of trying to find a roaster to work with?
And you mentioned social media, so what other avenues?
Just saying, like, how did the first people do business? Like, they just walked up to someone and say, hey, my name is this, I do that, and would you like to try, or would you like to see? So it's kind of like how we started. We started going on family trips, maybe for another reason, to a city or to another place, and we would plan ahead and have samples ready, or we would roast something here. At the beginning, we didn't know that roasting was such a big deal. So we would roast stuff and take it on the trips and try to pass roasted samples, not knowing that that is such a critical part. So you have also like a learning curve, and you, the first conversations, you know, like, oh, every roaster wants to roast their own stuff their own way, and everybody has a different approach or different rules to copying, to discussing and stuff.
Right.
We've had like Spaniards come in and say, hey, come on, you don't know what it is to cup with a Russian. They have totally different set of fruits. They say, like, this tastes like this. And you say, like, what is that? And you have nothing to relate to.
Right.
And, like, especially coffee is really just being explored. So,
like a lot of producers, you haven't always been involved in specialty coffee. This farm has not always been involved in specialty coffee. Tell us, in short, a little bit about why you and your family chose to be in this industry, the specialty industry.
Big thinkers always say problems or crises are the seeding of like solutions or new ways of seeing different situations. And without crises or anything, everything would be like in the status quo, right? Mm-hmm. We would always be like, as a family, centered in quality. We've always think that if you're gonna do something, you have to do it well. If you're already there, you're already woken up, you're like ready to work, why not do a good job, right? So we've always done the stuff the way we've done it. The thing that changed was our exposure and our knowledge of what was being sold, what was this new specialty coffee market, and just knowing that you have really clean coffee makes a whole difference. So just having clean coffee and all your day logs are clean, you are like in a different realm. Mm-hmm. So it has been easy to promote something that was already good. And fine-tuning and making things better is always important. There's always space to grow, always space to make things better and fine-tune them. Ever since we started concentrating in drying, in separating stuff more. I think we put more importance to learning than to selling at the beginning. Reading some batches or doing something wrong or wanting to do something different is the way to learn, you know? Like, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but if you don't do it, you're never going to know.
Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that Eric has let me ruin a bunch of coffee and learning, because I would not be able to do any of the roasting that I was, and at first when I started roasting, it was really like, make sure you don't burn that. Okay, make sure you don't under-roast that. Be careful, be careful, be careful. But it really does. You have to experiment and learn and learn from your past mistakes. And I think that's true with any part of the business. Mm-hmm. Is you're learning from your past mistakes and you're trying to build on the future from there.
Yeah, 100%. Which one of you guys reached out to Giorgio first?
I think you did first, yeah. Eric. Okay.
So when you get a message or an Instagram comment from this guy at Stone Creek Eric or whatever his handle is, sort of what's your response? Like, I know you said you're always happy to have people here, and of course you want to show people and sell your coffee, but do you ever get tired of having to hang out with these three guys from Wisconsin?
No, never. So as we said, we're always grateful to have the opportunity to look through that window of what other people can see and mm-hmm. perceive, and as other activities done on the farm that are not necessarily coffee, we have this philosophy where we say like, $1 today could be 100 tomorrow. So we never give anything for granted. If there's a small client that needs something, has a need or a special concern, we should always be grateful that we have the opportunity and have a positive approach, see what's gonna come out of anything. Mm.
So how do you prepare to host somebody who might buy your coffee?
So it could be a little bit difficult if They don't even know what they want. But if someone is looking for something specific, we always try like to know what are the objectives of the visit, what is, so it's always also about trends and stuff, and like what's hot right now, what are clients like wanting to know, and roasters and clients have like the same questions maybe just 3 years before the market or whatever. So it's always like different questions with each season or different purposes. So we always try to like ask what it is, to prioritize what activities we're gonna do or what parts of the farm we're gonna see, or if someone is really agricultural centered, we go more to the field, check out different agricultural practices, how we manage the farm, or if other people are just like obsessed with flavor, we just cup a lot, or also meals and food can be important.
And drinks, maybe?
Yeah, and drinks also. You want to have good meals and also show other things that are produced like in the region or from the area, to get like the whole context of origin experience.
Yeah. So Eric, as you and Melissa direct the company, why farm to cup? Why is working in this method, this manner, so important to you?
I guess probably for two reasons I think farm to cup matters. First, and most importantly, we're a quality-driven organization, and finding the best coffees in the world doesn't happen by clicking a few keys on your keyboard and looking at the offer list of an importer. While there certainly are maybe good coffees there, the best coffees are found by traveling, by packing your bag, and hitting the road and meeting producers, talking to producers. And it's not just finding the right coffee or your favorite coffee. It's about the journey of learning. It's about hearing what the producers have to say, what they're thinking about. And one thing in business that's really important is that you take the lesson of another and you apply it to your own business. And so many of the things that I see when I'm in origin, they aren't necessarily about this variety or that variety. They're about how is this producer thinking about their farm? How are they preparing for the future? Because that gets me to think about how to prepare for the future. And then secondly, farm to cup matters because ultimately it's my belief that the coffee business it certainly is about the cup, and the cup, as we say in Stone Creek, the cup always wins. But behind the cup are a bunch of people, and ultimately the strength of our company and the uniqueness of what we're trying to do is built on these relationships. And because coffee is the centerpiece of our business, it's the relationships that sit behind the cup, and those are the most important.
Sweet. We're going to wrap on that note. Our work on hashtag Farm to Cup 2016 will continue for the next few weeks. It's Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, then trips later in the year. So it's going to be a good year of coffee sourcing and bringing coffee from the farms to the cups of the people of Milwaukee and those who follow us through e-commerce as well.
A quick shout out to Giorgio and Finca San Jeronimo, who have been hosting us the last couple days. Amazing coffee producers. You should check them out on Instagram. They have a beautiful Instagram page. It's at Finca San Jeronimo. Yeah, look them up. They're great people. They're fun to watch.
And Jeronimo is with a soft J, just so you know. Next time we talk, Christian and I will be talking about what kind of coffee we look for when going to an origin country, because every roaster sort of has their own, in their mind, what they're looking for. Christian mentioned we want to learn about drying methods, but then we're also after certain types, certain kinds, certain flavor profiles of coffee. So we're going to outline that a little bit next time. Until then, we are geeks.
And we are talking coffee.